Amen. Okay. All right. Just remain standing. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. I am glad he still saves. Amen. Amen. He's still in the soul-saving business. Time's not run out yet for the sinner, thank God. Amen. And I don't know when it will. I know one day it will. One day it'll be too late, but I'm glad right now he's still willing to save. Amen. Seeking to save that which is lost, and I am grateful that he is. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 is where we'll start with. Read down through verse number 13. I'm going to pick out a few verses, try to preach on these this morning by the help of the Lord. You pray for us as we try. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll ask Brother Hall if he will lead us at this time.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again this morning for the cross.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the church and the living God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for coming again someday. We ask you, Lord, to bless the service this morning, that the pastor to preach.
Help us, Lord.
We ask you, Father, to save sinners.
Yes.
Hearts to be open and accept the word of God, that they might be born again to your grace. Bless your people, those that are sick. Ask you to touch and help them.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that prayer. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, this is, you know, the second look at this letter, the second letter of this third chapter, but actually the sixth letter of the seven letters to the seven churches that are in Asia. And as we've studied these, I've mentioned that this particular letter is not actually one of the shorter ones, neither is it one of the longer ones. It's just of medium length. And yet it contains some very exciting news. It has quite a bit to say to us, but one of the excitements of it is the fact that it does not have any admonition. There's nothing negative said towards the church there at Philadelphia or its pastor, but he says only good things about them and has admiration about them. And I say it is a blessing. We just moved from the church at Sardis, and at Sardis he found nothing to commend, only complain. But in Philadelphia, he found nothing to censor, but only to commend them and give them praise for that which they did. And I'm glad for that. Amen. And I'll say some more about that, Lord willing, tonight as we look at another point, if the Lord leads us in that direction and allows us to go the way that we think. Now, as we've looked at these letters and looked at each of these different sections, I've mentioned to you there's five things that we can look for in these letters. First of all, we look for the address, and we've already looked at that, and we'll point that out in a moment. Then we look for the admiration, which always is before any admonition. And then there's the advice and the advantage. Now, we looked last week at the address and mentioned four things that we saw in verse number 7. We noticed the servant, which is the angel of the church. I believe that to be the minister, the preacher, not a spiritual angel, but rather a physical messenger to the church at Philadelphia. And then the site is, of course, the church at Philadelphia. And then we saw the standard and source for holiness and truth. He said, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. And I'd like to just remind you again that our Lord Jesus is the standard. We don't measure by others. People say, well, I'm as good as others. Yeah, but do you measure up to Jesus? That's the point. Well, one religion's as good as another religion. Well, does it measure up to Jesus? That's the difference. Amen. He's the standard. And He's the source. If you're not holy, if you're in error, He's the source that can make you holy and put you in the truth. Amen. And I'm glad for that. Then we saw the fourth thing. We saw the sovereign sentry of the entrance and the exclusions. He is the Lord that has the door either open or closed. He can let in or He can block out. Amen. You remember when Noah built the ark, God gave him the specs. And Noah built it exactly like the Lord said. The Lord told him exactly how to build that ark. He told him how to build the window, where to put the window, how big to put the window. But as far as I know, I don't read any specs on the door. But the door had to be large enough to let the elephant in. Amen. But the squirrel could get in the same door the elephant got in, Brother Sammy says. Amen. And so whether you're large or small in your own eyes, you can come to the Lord Jesus. He's the door and He's big enough to let whosoever will in. Amen. Amen. But you remember when the time came that God said to Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. And the Bible said they came in and God waited 7 more days. And then the Bible said, God shut the door. Noah couldn't have opened it. I don't know if they were beating on it, asking in. They were so reprobate. They were so far from God. I'm not sure if they did even beat on the door and ask to be let in. But I do know this. If they had, they could not have gotten in because God had shut the door. When God shuts it, you can't open it from either side. Amen. It's sad, but there are people that because of decisions they've made and choices that they've made, the door is forever shut for them. And they cannot get in. I believe that when that case comes, I believe many times God does them as He did those in Sodom. Those sinners exceedingly, the Bible said in Sodom in Genesis chapter 13. But when those two angels came down in Genesis 18 and talked to Abraham, then they went over to talk to Lot. And in chapter 19, those men came out of the city and wanted those angels because they wanted them in their lust. They were burning after them. And the Bible says that God smote them with blindness so much that they could not even find the door. There are people today that are so blinded by sin that they not only can't get in the door, they don't know where the door is. That's sad, isn't it? But our Lord made the statement in this beginning here. He's the sovereign sentry of the door that opens or closes. Now we notice that He says this church that He left them a door that was open, and thank God that He did. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 8, and we're moving on to the next section. After the address, we see the admiration. That's verses 8, 9, and 10. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Just like nobody can open the door God shuts, nobody can shut the door that God holds open. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He goes on to say, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. Here's His admiration about how He sees these good things. Now, our Lord mentions in these verses, He announces, as He did to every other pastor and every other church, that He is intimately aware as to what's been going on in the church. He knows exactly the work they've been engaged in. Maybe the papers don't take notice. Maybe the neighbors don't take notice. Maybe others don't take, but the Lord pays close attention as to what goes on at His house. Amen. And He mentions that He knows the work that they're engaged in. And Christ obviously keeps a record of all the preaching and the praying and the planning and the pleading and the witnessing and the studying and the effort that goes in towards being doing something for the cause of Christ. And God takes notice of that, whether it's performed by the pastor or by a solitary church member. I'm glad He knows where we're at and what we're doing. Amen. And He's keeping a good record. Paul talked about that righteous judge given him a reward in one day. Amen. And I'm glad he is a righteous judge. Now, having said that, we look at this. In these three verses that I read to you, there are three beholds and one because found in these three verses. And I'm going to preach on the first one today if I can. The first behold in verse number 8. And we'll just stay with verse number 8 this morning. I really intend on trying to cover it all. And I saw last night that I wasn't going to be able to get it all in one sermon. And I need to be able to take some time on this one. So look with me in verse number 8. He starts out with this. I'll break it down in parts. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, before I give you the primary interpretation and application statement, I'd like to give you a secondary idea that people have about it that I believe is valid and is virtuous, but I don't believe it's the main point that is here. But let me just think about these young converts in Philadelphia. You know, this is the early church age that is written. I'm not talking about churches in the seven church ages, but as seven churches in the first century, and John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's the last apostle left alive, and he's about to pass off the scene. And John's writing these letters. Many of these converts were Jewish. We know that to be true. And we also know that in Philadelphia, there was a large Jewish congregation that, of course, would be meeting in a synagogue. And he mentions there about the synagogue, calls it the synagogue of Satan. We'll say more about that later as well. But there's a large group of Jews, and most of the time, matter of fact, I think all the time, as these would come into a new section and they start preaching the gospel, whether it was Paul or others, but primarily Paul would go first to the synagogue, and he would reason with them out of the scriptures, and he'd try to point them to Christ because they were his fellow men. They were men that he loved, his own nationality and his own race of people. And he said he could wish himself accursed if only they'd be saved. And so Paul would go to them, and if they rejected it, then Paul would turn to the Gentiles. And so I imagine that many in that first century that were saved and added to the church there at Philadelphia were of Jewish descent. Now, you know that when a person is saved out of Judaism, they are considered anathema. They are cursed. They are put out of their family and out of the synagogue as well. After these people got saved, they found the door to their family barred shut. They found that the door to the synagogue where they had gone to worship Jehovah God was immediately shut in their face, and they were barred against ever coming in only because they had professed Christ to be the Son of God. But Jesus sends notice to this group here, and he says, although your family has barred the door, and although your priest has barred the door, I've got the door to my house open, and you're welcome into my house. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't that be a real blessing? You think about it, how that these saints, they could gather now and join in worship and in communion and in fellowship with other saints that have gone down the same road, that have been through the same troubles. They understand those hardships, and they can testify of the grace of God that is sufficient. Amen. They'll tell them, we know you can make it through because we made it through. And the Lord says, I've left the door open at my house. Now, I think about that in our life, the application for us. We know as saints, many, we thank God, we ought to thank God for the privilege to be able to gather into the house of God. Amen. The inclusion of the house of God. I touched on it with Brother Bales. He's teaching this morning and talking about how some of them don't understand. And they've got two concepts of the church. They've got the mystical body, and then they've got the local body. And they see it as two different ones. And they look at it as if you're saved, you're in this one body. But if you're baptized, then you're in this other body. But really, our Lord never saved one person. He never offered one person salvation that he didn't point them to the body and point them towards baptism and fellowship in a local, not a mystical, but a local church. Amen. I appreciate the way he brought it out. I thought it was very good, and I approve of that. But here's what I'm saying. Here's in this little local church, our Lord is saying to them, he said, you may have been barred from other things, but you're welcome into our fold, thank God. Amen. And I think about how that maybe we don't suffer persecution like the Christians of the early age did, but many times people that get saved in this society do suffer exclusion and reproach for the cause of Christ. There are many who are ostracized and ridiculed because they don't do like they used to do. They say, you're no longer fun. You don't party. You don't drink. Amen. You don't chew. You don't run with those that do, as they say. Amen. You're different because you've been saved by the grace of God. They call you square. They'll say you're prudish. Amen. And they make all kinds of names and make fun of you because you don't use the same language you did. Matter of fact, you not only don't use it, you can't hardly stand it even to hear it. Amen. And it starts bothering you. You say something about it. All of a sudden now, instead of wanting to talk about the race, you're wanting to talk about grace. Say amen right there. Amen. You're wanting to talk about something that has eternal values, not who's going to win the Super Bowl or the World Series and then have to do it all over again next year. You're talking about something that's going to last. It's for eternity. And they can't stand that. And they'll ostracize you and sometimes they'll bar you from their fellowship. They'll have the family dinners on Sunday. And then they'll complain and say, well, you ought to came. Well, why didn't they have it on Saturday? So you could, they knew you was going to be in God's house. Amen. At least they should have known that. Say amen right there. That is right. Amen. Well, we see that some people do suffer that ridicule. Some people find not only that their family cuts them out, but friends indeed forsake them. Amen. And they no longer want them around. And then sometimes it gets closer to home and it's their own family. Amen. And they don't understand, but I'm telling you, they say you're no fun anymore. We can't have any fun with you around. You bring a damper on all our talks and all our get-togethers, and they start sort of ridiculing. But isn't it a blessing that if you're barred from that family, that there is a family that has the door open, that understands what you're talking about grace, it gets excited about the same songs you get excited about, amen. It loves the same Bible you love, amen. It loves the things that you honor, and they love the same Lord you honor, amen. And we can come in and sit down and feast with our family at the Lord's table, amen. What a blessing. Our Lord says there's a door open and there ain't nobody can shut it. That's what He said. Amen. Thank God. Look at verse number 8 again. And I'll give you the primary interpretation. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. It appears to me the way this sentence is laid out that Christ has reviewed the work of this church and its pastor. And he points out that the reason for their opportunity and success lies in the fact of their strength. Not in the fact of their strength, because he said it's very little, but in the fact that he has opened a door of opportunity. And I believe that's what he's saying. This church is ministering in the great city of Philadelphia, not because the church is great. It's very small. Not because they got great power. He says you're very weak, but they're ministering because God has opened the door of ministry there. Amen. And what a blessing that it is that He still opens the door for us. I believe right here is an important point that we ought to take notice to, and that is this: no matter how we might view our strength, and no matter how others might view our own strength or our own ability to do the work of God, He says we've got little strength. When He said you have a little strength, that does not mean, well, you've got a little bit. That's not, no, He said what you've got is very little. That's the point that He's making there. Amen. It's like the lady, Miss Elvina Hall, wrote the song, Jesus Paid It All. And the first verse, the first line says this, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. That's what He said to this church. That's what He said to this church. He said, you're not there because you're powerful. By the way, I thank God for the Island Ford Baptist Church, but any ministry that takes place from this church, it's not because we're powerful. It's because He's powerful and He's opened the door for us. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the radio station and the power, the output. We pay the power bill every month. Amen. As quickly as it comes in, we pay the power bill. But it's not the power company that gives us the real power that must be done in order to get the job. We're looking at spiritual power, thank God. And that power comes from the Lord. Amen. Now, the church works in the arena of miracles. Amen. And yet we have no power to perform miracles. That's God's power. Amen. The church works in the arena of ministry, and yet we have no power really to do. We can study sermons. We can pray and we can preach sermons. We can prepare ourselves. We can practice singing. We can get up and sing. We can play the instruments. All those things. We can prepare our hearts. But it takes the ministering power of the Holy Spirit if anything good is really done in the congregation. Amen. If anything's done over the radio airwaves, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to ask God, open the door, Lord. Please open the door. Amen. And so he's saying here, he said, you have little strength. Amen. We must admit that if anything gets done in the spiritual realm, God gets the glory.
That's right.
Amen. We can't take credit for it because it was not done in our own power. Amen. We must give the credit to the power of the Lord and the open door that He has opened and that He has kept open for us. Amen. Now, notice also in the construction of this sentence in verse number 8, this statement about the door not only being opened, but He said it is kept open. Amen. Behold, I set before thee. Let me find my place again. Behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. Amen. He not only said, I've opened it. He said, I am keeping it open. Amen. Amen. Now, that appears to indicate to me that somebody is wanting to close it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. They're trying to shut the doors of opportunity. They're trying to shut the doors of ministry, which the church had enjoyed. And I'll say this, just like that we give credit and praise to Christ, we recognize that all our ministering power must come from Him, and it comes from His strength. He's the one that opens the door. We also have to recognize that this is a spiritual battle between right and wrong. It is a spiritual battle between good and evil, and we don't have the ability to hold the door open. He opened it, we can't keep it open. He'll have to keep it open. Amen. Amen. There are and will be men and devils that'll try to stop and shut the door of opportunity. Amen. We're going to have to pray and ask the Lord not only to open the door, but to keep the doors opened. Amen. There is an adversary, and he is against everything we are attempting to do for the glory of God. Amen. I never have imagined that the devil appreciates what happens at this little church on the side of the road in Madisonville, Kentucky. I'm sure he don't appreciate what happens over the airwaves in Kentucky and the other states that we reach into, and also the station down in McKenzie. The devil does not appreciate that. Them being able to reach out around the world with the internet, the devil does not appreciate that one bit. Amen. He'd love to have exclusive use of the internet. He's got a large portion of the use of the internet, but he don't have it all, thank God. Amen. And I believe we ought to sow as much good seed as we can, as long as we can, and we ought to ask God, keep the door open. Amen. Matter of fact, if you're familiar, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with the age and the fact of our transmitter up here on the hill, it is a miracle of God that this thing keeps on pumping out day by day, hour by hour. Thank God. And I don't believe it's because we're great or the men that made that is great, but it's because we've got a great God who has opened the door and thus far He's seen fit not to allow it to be closed. Amen. And by the way, if it gets closed, it won't be the devil that closed it. It'll be God that shut her down.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we ought to fight against the devil. Here's what Peter said, 1 Peter 5:8. You know these verses, so you don't have to turn there. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We do have an enemy, and he's on the prowl, and he's trying to work against us if we're trying to do anything for the glory of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My point is this, there is a battle going on, and we have an enemy. The enemy wants to shut the doors of the church, wants to shut the doors of our opportunity to witness, and wants to shut the doors of anything we're trying to do for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Be aware of the enemy. Not only trying to shut the doors of the church, he's trying to shut the doors of your home. He'd like to divide your home, bust it up. He certainly wants to shut the doors of your homeschooling. Amen. Train those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He wants to shut the doors of Christian radio, and on we could go. Whatever it is that we're doing for the glory of God, the devil wants to shut those doors. We must ask the Lord to keep them open for opportunity. Turn back to Acts chapter number 14, and we'll look at a few verses here real quickly, and I'll move right on. Acts chapter number 14. I'm talking about this open door. Thank God for it. Amen. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27 is where I'm going to take my text right quick. Then I'm moving on. Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, this is talking about Paul and Barnabas as they come back and they're reciting. All right, when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Look at this, and how he, not Paul and not Barnabas, that's talking about God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. We can all say hallelujah to God right there. Amen. Amen. I'm not against the Jews, but as far as I know, I don't have any Jewish blood in me. I say it's as far as I know. Amen. As far as I know, I don't have any ancestors that came from Israel. But I'm glad they don't keep me out of the house of God. Don't keep me out of the family of God. Amen. God has opened the door to the Gentiles. That's what he said there. And by the grace of God, we can be let in. Look in Acts chapter number 16, and we'll see the door open again. Acts 16, verse 13. Acts 16, verse 13, it's talking about Paul and them going down there to Philippi. And he said, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Amen. Not only the door of the church open, I'm getting open the door of the heart. Amen. Not only can sinners come, and they're welcome to come and sit on the bench, or sit on the pew, or sit in a chair. Thank God they can come, and God can open the door that they can receive the gospel and be saved by the power of the Word of God. Amen. But it's God that must open the door. I can't go down there and make them agree to some facts and get them in. I can't grab them up by the nape of their neck and drag them down the altar and rub their nose in the altar, and after the third time rubbing it across there, they're saved somehow. That don't work. What's it going to take? It's going to take God opening the door. Our job to preach it, our job to tell it, our job to sing it. Amen. Our job to show it forth, that when the door's open, the seed might fall in some good soil. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We'll skip over a couple of books here. 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 2, we see the door open. Verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12. I wrote that down wrong. That's not right. I wonder. Let me look back. Look at 1:12 here. Oh, that's what I was looking at. It is chapter 2, verse 12. It's not 1:12. All right. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. If you notice, every time, he or the Lord, that's what it says. He or the Lord opens the door. Paul said, I went to preach. God called me to preach. I'm going to preach. I'm doing the will of God. But it's going to take God to open the door. And he said, when I came to Troas, Christ the Lord opened the door. Amen. Now turn to Colossians chapter number 4. We see it again. Colossians chapter number 4. On over about 3 or 4 books, you'll find the book of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse number 2. Paul's given instruction to the church at Colossae. And he says, continue in prayer. He's closing out his letter, and he's giving them some instruction, last minute instruction. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving with all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul said, I've got a burning desire to preach, but it does me no good unless God opens the door of opportunity. And Christ said to the church at at Philadelphia. He said, I have opened the door and no man can shut it. Amen. One more place. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And I put this in last. I know it's out of order, but because it's a good place here. You saw Colossians, he's talking about praying. Our job, listen, we ought to pray. Lord, open the door. And then we ought to pray, Lord, keep the door open. Amen. Keep the door open. I personally believe that the radio, the work here, and through the years, and right now until Jesus comes, the main thing we need is not to raise money, it's to raise prayer. Amen. It is prayer that gives us the power to keep the radio going. Amen. It is prayer that gives us the power to keep the ministry of the church going. Amen. We need the money, and that's, pray for that. Amen. But I'm saying it's the power of prayer that gets the job done. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9. By the way, before I move on from that, just making that statement about the radio. I know Brother Hall for years has put in, I don't know the hours and the tears and the prayers that Brother Hall has set up. I've been here at times and seen in the marathons, and that's just a little snippet of what you see that goes on there. But he's put in the effort to pray and to keep the doors open and to keep the lights on and to keep the radio going forth, the work of God being done. Amen. And we need to keep that up. Don't stop now, is what I'm saying. Amen. Keep it up. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9. Here's what Paul said. For a great door, praise God, this is a big door, and effectual, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Goes right back to where I started. Amen. Christ opened the door, and it is a great door. What a great opportunity. Amen. Sometimes we say, boy, I wish I'd have lived in Spurgeon's day, or I wish I'd have lived in Paul's day, or I wish I'd have lived in somebody else. No, listen, this day is the best day you could ever live for God. Amen. Christ put us here for such a time as this. I don't doubt that. He knows His providence. He knew exactly what to do. Amen. But this is one of the greatest times we could ever have to worship God or to serve God and to please Him. Amen. Amen. A great door and effectual is open unto me. But He says, and there are many adversaries. There's an enemy out there. Paul said there ain't just one. He said there's a gang of them. There's a gang of them. Amen. Well, I believe, I've thought it for a long time, I don't think our federal government, that is anti-God, by the way, and anti-Christian, and I don't think that they appreciate having a Christian radio. Matter of fact, one of these days, we're going to find out we probably offend Muslims. Right. Amen. Amen. And they have all the rights, seems like. Amen. We'll find out we offend the Sodomites. And they have all the rights. Amen. We are offensive to a lot of people, and we're not trying to offend them. We're trying to win them. Amen. We're trying to be a light and a friendly voice and a help to them that can show them the true way that they too can be saved and go to the same heaven we do. Amen. I don't want one of them to go to hell. Not one. Amen. Amen. But the government and on the world system is against this. I'm telling you, the devil is against this. But the Lord said, I'm the one that's opened the door, and I'm glad He has. And we need to keep praying that He'll keep the door open. Amen. All the devils and all the senators and congressmen and presidents in Washington can't shut it. Amen. As long as the Lord holds the door open. That's right. Look at verse number 8 again. I'm almost done. Verse number 8, that last phrase. Let me get back there. Verse number 8, that last phrase, after He said, I've opened the door, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. This little strength, which the church at Philadelphia and their pastor had, might indicate that they were small in number. Many of the commentators I read felt like that they were. That this was a fresh, not a long-lived church. It was a young church. Said this is the youngest of all the seven. That it was one of the smaller churches as well. Smyrna, as far as we know, was probably the smallest. It's just one of the smaller cities and probably one of the smaller churches. And they were in fellowship with the Church of Philadelphia more than any of the other churches. And I mentioned that the other day about how that when Polycarp, which was the bishop of Smyrna, was martyred, there was 12 Philadelphians that was martyred the same time with him. And there's great communion. We see a lot of connection in these letters that are written. But the fact that he said you've got little strength might indicate that they were small in number. It also might indicate that they had limited skill, that they were short on skill. Amen. that their preacher, their teachers didn't have all the eloquent words, didn't have all the book learning, didn't have all the credentials of the university system. Amen. And our Lord said, you might just have a little strength, but because you've kept my word and because you've not denied my name, I've opened a great door. Amen. And nobody can shut it. It is a wonderful thing that I noticed that in spite of the small number and in spite of the limited or lack of ability, Jesus Christ can open the door and keep the door open. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He can keep the door. I also wonder that this small struggling church and this pastor here is commended that in spite of their small number, in spite of their limited or lack of ability, they have been faithful to the Word of God and they've been faithful to the name of Christ. Amen. All too often, if a church is small or even some of the large churches, but many small struggling congregations slip from their faithfulness to the Word of God just to get a number. Amen. To have a little more power in the community, they say. Amen. In that book that passed around, some different ones have read it. And by the way, I've got it back. Somebody said they wanted to read it. If you'd want to see me after the service. But in that book, talk about when the Sodomites took over San Francisco. There was a Christian radio station. When the Sodomites burned that preacher's house down, burned his house, didn't burn it completely down, but with his kids in there, and it was an effort specifically targeted to the children, and they did it at night and tried to kill them. And you know how much the Christian radio station down the road, which by the way, they had some fellowship with, association with, they said, we can't say anything about it because we'll lose some supporters. You know what? Instead of being faithful to the Word of God, they wanted to maintain power in the community. And our Lord said, you've been little in power, and yet you've stayed faithful to my Word. And so I'm going to keep the door open for you. Amen. Amen. I think about that, how that some people, in order to try to entice visitors, in order to try to entertain the crowd, get the approval of the world, and get the sanction of the scholarship, that's why many churches are moving away from the King James Bible. Moving to other versions of the Scriptures. Amen. That's why many churches move away from conservative gospel music to start including contemporary rock and roll, entertainment groups. Amen. That's why some pastors and churches discount Bible preaching, choose rather to have puppet shows, clown acts, quote-unquote gospel comedians, movie nights, and quote-unquote gospel magic shows. I could go on and on and on. You say, preacher, why do you keep elaborating on that? Because the Lord keeps reminding us, we got to stay faithful to His Word. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. This is not the First Baptist Theater. Yeah. Amen. Brother Steve said, we ought to start opening up First Baptist Theater. We can make millions. Amen. This is the Island Ford Baptist Church. Yeah. Amen. Faith don't come by watching movies. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. Amen. Amen. Them which believe. I'm glad He has, and I don't believe we ought to mix gospel and magic anyway. Amen. 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 Well, I'll go on. There's a lot of churches that have been having puppet shows for years, and they didn't know it. And that's free. Amen. That's why a lot of churches, or some churches, I say, they're not staying faithful to the Word of God. They're denying the Lord's name. Why? Because they see themselves as small. They see themselves as losing influence. And they think, well, if we just drop the name Baptist, then all of a sudden we will be accepted by the crowds, and they'll love us, and they'll appreciate us, and they'll flock in here, and it may happen, but here's what God said, our Lord said, you've not only been faithful to my word, you've been faithful to my name. Amen. And the name is important, by the way. Amen. You say the name of the Lord wasn't Baptist. I realize that. This is the Lord's church. Matter of fact, the Baptist churches used to be called the Church of Christ before somebody stole the name. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but that's the truth. Amen. Our Lord Jesus commended this church. He commended this church and their pastor for staying faithful to His Word. and not denying His name. Amen. Christ not only commended them for these things, but He kept the door open for it. That word "for" is the same word as "because." He said, "Because you've done this, I've kept the door open." Amen. I've opened a door for witness. And I believe that can be seen, that word "for." Christ told them He's keeping the door open because of their faithfulness. Amen. How many of these churches have you seen? I have. I've lived long enough to see it. There in North Carolina and around the world, you read about it. These churches, man, they bloom up and they blossom. And man, it's like a big mushroom. And then it's all gone, just like an atomic bomb was really there. I mean, it just looks like it's great big, you're booming, and all of a sudden there's nothing. You know why? Because they didn't have anything to stand on. Amen. Well, Christ commended them for their faithfulness. Notice this phrase, "Thou hast a little power." I'll say this and plug it in it. I believe it's important. I'm glad God's opinion of ourselves is often different than our opinion of ourselves. Smyrna said they were poor. In Revelation 2:9, Jesus said, "But you're rich." Amen. Sardis had a name that they were alive. But the Lord said in 3:1, "You're dead." Amen. Philadelphia was considered to be weak. And yet the Lord proved that they were strong in chapter 3, verse 9. And then Laodicea thought they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And God said in Revelation 3:17, that you're poor and you're in need. Amen. Amen. In the case of Philadelphia being considered weak but proven to be strong, I believe there's a key there that we can see and apply in our own life and really with our own church. That when we think we're strong, we're not as strong as we think we are. But if we will admit we're weak, then are we strong. Amen. When we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't rely on our own power, but we rely upon the strength of the Lord, then we can be proven to be strong. That's the first behold. Verse number 8 gives you the first behold. Christ wanted His church to look around. He wanted them to notice. Here's what He wanted them to notice. You've got very little strength. But He also wanted them to notice, but I've held the door open for you. Amen. Have you ever felt like you just got all you can carry? Amen. You just got all you can carry. I mean, you've got problems, you've got difficulties, and you can't hardly make it another step. Well, the Lord sees you got your hands full, and He'll open the door for you. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. He said, "You've not denied My name, and you've kept My word." I want to ask you a question. Do we recognize the privilege of being a part of the church, the privilege of gathering in and having the door open that we can come and worship the Lord? Do we run to Him with our troubles and our trials and ask Him to open the door of opportunity? Are we asking Him to keep the door open? Have you ever run to Jesus? Have you accepted Him? Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help as we have this invitation time. Father, I pray You'd move in the hearts of those You're dealing with, that You would deal with those that need to be dealt with. Lord, You'd bring some to Christ. You'd bring some to a place that recognize their weakness, and they'd look to Thee for strength. And Lord, we'd recognize the fact that we need to be careful, stay on our knees and ask You and beg You and implore You to keep the doors open so we can do something. And Lord, help us while the door is open to do all we can for Your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come, the altar's open. The door's open for you there. If you need to come pray, I believe you can get through while we sing.